It is good to be here with you on this glorious sunny day, weekend of Memorial Day weekend. Please remember, I know Memorial Day is a day that we remember those that have given their ultimate sacrifice for our country, but please tomorrow as you're celebrating, please remember those that remain as well, because there's a lot of people that have served in our country that really grieve that day because of those members that they were side by side fighting with that did not make it home. And I know that one of our members has made that statement, and so thankfully they're taking some respite this weekend. He and his family, but just be thinking of those that have lost really good friends, really good brothers and sisters in arms, as we remember what they gave for our country. Our call to worship this morning on this Trinity Sunday is from Psalm 29. Listen to the Word of God. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory, the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. As we continue to worship, let's join in singing.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're singing hymn number 9, Glorify Thy Name.
Glorify thy name in all the earth, Lord.
Let's pray. Father, we do glorify your name. We thank you that you are the three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you that you have so many ways to reach us and touch our hearts. Sometimes it's that gentle spirit. And we just thank you for another beautiful day and another day to worship and praise you. Open our minds and our hearts and our ears to the words that you have for each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're now going to sing an oldie but a goodie, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, number 3.
We lift our hands
It's in the center. It's the words are the heart for the heart of worship. And this is remembering that we're not just bringing him songs, we're bringing him all of ours.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you. All about you, Jesus, King of endless worth. No one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, and I single a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. All about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it, when it's all about you. All about you, Jesus.
It's children's time.
Children.
We know he's
here.
We
are all our childs of God. Children of God. Get this lined up. Good morning. It's great to be back from vacation, and sorry I was not here last week. I had a chaplain call. But thank you to whoever read the message. Appreciate it. This week we are going to be talking about we are brothers and sisters of Jesus. And the scripture for today, who are my mother and my brothers? he asked. Then he looked at those who were seated in a circle around him. Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Comes from Mark 3, 33 through 35. What is a family? Well, one definition is found in the dictionary, and it sounds something like this. A family is a group consisting of a parent or parents and children living together in a household. That's no doubt one way to define a family. But families can be much more than that, can it not? A family can be a group of people that is brought together by a common interest, beliefs, love for one another. When I worked at the fire station, and most of my time was spent there, the people that I worked with were like a family to me. So that is like another example of a family. It's people that you care about deeply and you love and care for them. One of the best examples of family there is the church. The church is a family bonded together by love for God, their heavenly Father, and for one another. There's a song written by Bill and Gloria Gaynor. For those of you that are of that older age, you'll probably remember that, but for those of us that are a lot younger, might not remember the song. But it's called The Family of God, and here's how it kind of goes. I am so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I have been washed by the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined in heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod, for I am a part of the family of God. Well, you notice around here at church, we might refer to us, to ourselves, as brothers and sisters. Because we're family, and they are so near. When one has heartache, we all share the tears. When one rejoices, we share in the victory. The family is so dear. In our Bible lesson today, Jesus was together with his disciples in a house. When Jesus' mother and his brothers arrived at the house, they sent someone inside to look for him. They told Jesus, "Your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you." Jesus looked around at the people seated around him, and he answered, "Here are my mothers and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and my sister and my mother." Did Jesus really love his mothers and his brother? Of course he did. But he also realized that he had another family. It was a family that was made up of those who loved his heavenly Father and wanted to do his will. You and I love our families, but we also have a wonderful family of faith. It's made up of brothers and sisters who love God and one another. It's wonderful to be a part of the family of God. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for our families. We thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. We pray for the message this morning. We invite you into this time. Please reveal yourself to us as John shares the message that the two of you have developed together. May your words be what are heard today from John. We just pray for John as he delivers the message and give him peace about what he is saying. And we are just so thankful that John is a part of our congregation and one of our brothers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Lance. I want to thank you all that have submitted your surveys. They are going in, and we will get the results from those back. I think it's sometime in the latter part of June. And our session will look over those, and then we'll share those results with you. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm thankful that Lance shared about family. We are thankful because as a family, we will be returning to indoor worship, hopefully, next week, barring any other changes in our status in COVID. So we invite you to next week to come and be a part of our worship inside. And if you are still more comfortable being in the parking lot, we understand that. And we invite you to come anyway and be in the parking lot. And we will still have our drive-through. We'll still do those kind of things so that you can feel a part of the church. We will still be broadcasting on 92.3. And so you will be able to hear the service. You just won't be able to see me quite as much, which may be a blessing. I don't know. But with that, we have so much to be thankful for. And as a family also, we have things to be concerned about. Some of those are in your bulletin. We'll be praying over those later. But I know that many of you are wondering how little Haven is doing. And Haven is holding her own, but she's had a rough night. They put her on, and for those of you who don't know, she had open-heart surgery this past week. And it's been a rough go. And she's just, little five-year-old Haven is fighting. And they weren't able to do everything they wanted to do, but they're working on it, and they're still looking at options. Right now, she was on muscle relaxants, but that wasn't working. So they're trying to figure out what to do to best make her comfortable. And we're just continuing to pray for Haven, and that God would just bless her, and pray for her parents and for her grandmother as well, as her grandmother's a part of our congregation. We want to keep praying for her, and that's what family does. We support one another. So as we continue in our readings for the lectionary, we want to continue to look at our words from the lectionary, and today is, if you didn't know, today is Trinity Sunday. It's actually on the front of the bulletin. Way to go, Ruth. And Trinity Sunday, we looked at God sending his son, and we saw Jesus' life, and we've looked at that in the gospel readings and all throughout Lent. And then, of course, the purpose of Jesus coming was to die on the cross for our sins. Whew, that scared me. Died for our sins. And as Jesus died for our sins, then he rose again, opening up the way for resurrection life for all of us. And not only did he do that, he then said that he was going to leave and he was going to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came. And so all those three, the triune Godhead is what we worship. And so today our passages come from Isaiah in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we'll be reading from Romans, and then in our gospel reading, we'll be looking at John. And so our first Bible reading comes from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Hear the word of God. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook, and the voice of him who called in the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And then I said, "Here am I, send me." From Paul's letter to the church in Rome, we read from Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified. May also be glorified with him. And our gospel reading for today is from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. I think you will definitely recognize some of these verses. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God. No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Lord, as we come to your word this day, give us ears to hear, wisdom to understand, and courage to do as your word tells us. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and to the glory of you, our Creator God. Amen. Have you ever gasped in surprise? Maybe in awe? Perhaps you were on a curve in a road or on a trail, and as you turned, there before you was an amazing view. I know on days like today, when I drive home to my home in Bonnie Lake, we drive up the hill on the 410, and just as we reach the crest, Mount Rainier is in full glory, staring back at us. It's amazing. Or perhaps you heard some good and long-awaited news and it caused you to go, in excitement. Just that gasp of, oh boy. Or perhaps it was not good news and you gasped. We gasp in awe, in joy, and in sadness. Last week, we celebrated Pentecost, and we talked about the Spirit filling the people of the church. As I think about that, I think about the breath of life that God breathed into Adam and into Eve. We spoke of the Spirit and not knowing where it was going, but definitely seeing the results of it as we do with the wind. We don't know where it comes from or where it's going, but we definitely see the effects. And today we're celebrating the Trinity, the recognition that there are three persons in the Godhead, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, three distinct persons, yet one, all of them co-eternal with one another. In the very beginning, when God was going to create human beings, God said, let us create us. All three were present at the time, and perhaps that's why the seraphim cry out to one another, holy, holy, holy. As a side note, seraphim is just the plural of seraph. People think, what is a seraphim? It's not a seraphim. It's a group of many, I don't want to say seraphs because that's incorrect. It's not seraphs, but seraphim. It's a group. Take many of the seraphs, seraph, and you have seraphim. They cry out to one another, holy, holy, holy. In our readings today from Isaiah, from Romans, and the Gospel of John, we get a glimpse of all three persons of the Trinity. In Isaiah, we come into contact with pure holiness. The Lord is high and lifted up, and the train of his robe fills the temple, and the seraphim are above him. And the seraphim are calling to one another. We read in chapter 6, verse 3 of Isaiah, and one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And Isaiah realizes that he is in the presence of absolute holiness. And he is anything but holy. He cries out, woe is me. If we look at verse 5, he says, I said, woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah knows that he's not holy, but what he's seeing is. In that moment, he recognizes everything that has come out of his mouth that was not good. And what comes out of our mouth is it flows from our heart, so we are known by our words. In that moment, one seraph takes a burning coal, and we see in verse 7, and he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin atoned for. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin atoned for. Those are powerful words, and they're most needed for all of us. Not one of us can say that we are holy. All of us, like Isaiah, can cry out as people of unclean lips and hearts. In our gospel message from John, we heard about being fundamentally changed. He referred to it as being born of water and the Spirit to enter the kingdom of God. And we heard the amazing promise of eternal life from being, quote, born again. Rebirth is fundamental to change. You are born into a new being, no longer set on things that are of this world, but on things that are eternal. You're thinking about, what does God want? We pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This being born again, as we use in our contemporary vernacular, is having turned our lives over to Jesus. And what happened to the sin that once filled us? Well, as we focused on throughout Lent and then Easter, Jesus was our atoning sacrifice. Our sins have been atoned for. Our guilt indeed has been taken away. As believers in Christ, we can say that. And then we read in Paul's letter to the church in Rome, he says in verse 13 of chapter 8, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, and then you will live." Now, these deeds of the body would seem to be focusing on things that are according to the flesh. In other words, they're the things, our carnal desires, if you will. But by the Spirit, we put these to death, that not only might we live, but also we might be led by the Spirit. And then in Romans, we come to this statement in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Now, if you put aside our fleshly desires and yielded to the Holy Spirit in our lives, we are children of God. And as Paul writes, if children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. So the question becomes, so as a child of God, how are we to live that out? If we are all considered sons of God, and that's not being a sexist statement, the sons were the ones at the time that inherited everything. So that's why it's written that way. But you and I, as sons and daughters of God, we are able to inherit everything that God has for us. So as a child of God, how are we to live that out? Imagine being the heir of one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, to being co-heir with Christ. That is what we are. It means that we are heirs not only of the abundance of riches within God's kingdom, but that we were also heirs in the family business. Have you ever thought about that? You are an heir to the family business of what God is doing. If you look at almost any large corporation founded by a family, and you're going to find lots of family members in key positions working within that organization. So, if we are, you and I, heirs, we are family members, co-heirs with Christ of this family business that God is doing, we might go back to the vision of Isaiah and think about what does that mean for us. So as we look at Isaiah, we see in chapter 6, verse 8, Isaiah says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And then I said," that's Isaiah speaking, "here I am, send me." The voice of the Lord was saying, whom shall I send? Send? For what? Where? When? To whom? Why? How? These are kind of obvious questions that you would think somebody would want to know before saying, hey, I'll go. We don't know. None of those questions were answered. Not one of those questions is the answer stated before Isaiah says, "Here I am, send me." Think about that. Is there anyone that you trust enough that whatever they ask, I'll go? Our typical answers sound more like, I need to know some more. I'm not ready. I don't speak well. I'm not sure I'm the one you want. I have other commitments. Isaiah also didn't give any of those excuses. He simply says, here I am, send me. He didn't know where he was going, for what purpose, when he would leave, to whom he was going, why he was going, or how he was going to get there. He simply said, I'm here. There's a song that just popped into my head. I'm not going to sing for you, don't worry. But the lyrics went, I'm yours, Lord. Everything I've got, everything I am, and everything I'm not. I'm yours, Lord. So take me now and see. See how I can be completely yours. Today it seems that more and more we're hearing calls to action for various things. All kinds of issues. All you have to do is turn on your TV set. I'm not gonna list them here. You know what they are. And many of them may be causes that you, at least vocally, are passionate about. You get fired up about it. But have you gone? Are you going? The question that is the title of this sermon is, are we complacent? After Pentecost, the church was birthed and grew dramatically throughout Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus had died making atonement for their sins. He rose again, reminding them of the resurrection and eternal life. He sent the Holy Spirit, and it was all for the glory of God the Father. This weekend, especially tomorrow, we remember the thousands and thousands of men and women who have heard the call of our country and stepped up to defend our country, to serve our nation. Thousands and thousands have given the ultimate sacrifice of their life here on this earth in that service. They heard the call and they responded. And while they were there, I need somebody for a mission. Here I am. Remember Isaiah's vision. The Lord is on his throne. The train of his robes fills the temple. And he says, whom shall I send? Or who will go for us? Is our response a list of questions? Who am I going to? Where am I going? Why am I going? How am I going? Or is it one of, here I am. Send me. Will we be complacent and do nothing? Or are we ready to go wherever God the Father, Jesus the Christ, or the Holy Spirit might lead us? My hope is that we are ready, not by our own power, not by our own understanding, but by our faith. Moses, when he was called, had a whole litany of excuses. And his final one was, basically, he said, couldn't you find somebody else? That doesn't sound like much of a commitment. I'm not trying to guilt you into doing things for God. I'm trying for all of us to recognize that we are called by God to be the people of God, and God is and continues to send us to shine Christ's light, as it says, let your Christ light shine into the world, as you leave here on our placards. Let us go. Here I am, Lord. Send me to God, our triune God, be the glory. Amen. Please pray with me. Creator God, as we have gathered here today, some of us are ready to take up any charge you might give us. Others, not so much. Lord Jesus, knowing the price you paid and how you suffered for our sins, we can't help but be thankful and desire to give back. Holy Spirit, as you guide us, lead us, comfort us, and empower us, we pray that we might live as the people we were created to be, living as children of God. Not simply children, but co-heirs with Christ and bringing glory to our triune God. We pray this to the glory of God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I don't know if you can hear it, but I've got a wonderful family of birds up here. They're singing choruses right now to me. I love it. As we gather in worship, as birds sing in worship, we have an opportunity always to give back to God some of that which God has given to us. And so I want to invite you, as our worship team comes out and sings our offering or our offertory, I want to invite you to think about how you can continue to give to God, not just financially, but with your time. What talents, unique talents, do you have that you can give? Maybe not right here at this in this church grounds, but maybe it's being at a school. Maybe it's mentoring a student. Maybe it's helping somebody learn how to fix a car or helping a child learn to read. It can be a myriad of things, but God has gifted you. And think how you might offer yourself and say, "Here I am, Lord." Let's continue to worship. Inside, you will see a page that's dedicated to prayers, and so I encourage you to pull that out and join us in prayer. Holy God, we come before you, and we are in awe. The psalmist says that the creation sings of your glory, and it truly does. God, we are thankful. We are so thankful because for the last, starting in August, so we're almost to June, so 8 months, you have blessed us with. Actually, it's more than, it's like 9 months. God, you have blessed us with good weather, that we've been able to be out here in the parking lot and we've been able to worship together and see one another, even if it was through windows or windshields. God, we're thankful that we are seeing the cases of COVID in our country diminish, and we pray for those areas around the world that are seeing them explode. We think of our brothers and sisters in India. God, we pray that they might be able to get the virus under control there as well. God, we give you praise with Larry, that he is doing well, and we are thankful that he's thankful for our prayers. It is our privilege to pray for him. God, we lift up to you Haven. Lord, this girl is a fighter. 12 hours of open heart surgery to correct a heart defect. Being in ICU, having a bleed, having fluid fill her lungs, having all of this stuff happen, and yet she continues to fight. And God, I pray that you would continue to strengthen her. I ask, Lord, that you would continue to build into her these experiences, but that she would recover fully from them, Lord, that she would have this amazing testimony to share to your glory. And God, I pray for the parents of Haven as they deal with the anxiety of all of this. God, give them a sense of your peace. Wrap them in your loving arms that they feel your presence. And God, I pray that they may know you in a very real way, having come through this. Lord, we pray. We ask for, we pray with confidence for a full recovery. God, we lift up to you Jerry. And we pray that as he's been diagnosed with this rare disease, Lord, we ask that you would give him healing. And we pray for your comfort and your peace. We continue to lift up to you Barb, and we pray for the health issues that she's been having and ask for accurate diagnoses and effective treatment. Give her your sense of peace and make her knowledgeable of your presence, Lord, with her. For Daryl, God, we thank you for just for creating an amazing Energizer Bunny, Lord, that he continues in the midst of fighting this cancer, that he's, as he's undergoing chemotherapy, that he's still doing so much work, and thank you for the beautiful work that he's done around our grounds, and God, just so much that he's done. But we pray against this tumor, Lord. We pray that it would shrink, and it would shrink significantly. We pray for this cancer to be removed from him, and we pray that the side effects, Lord, of the chemotherapy would be minimal. Continue to give Joyce and Anne your peace and comfort. God, wrap them all in your loving arms. We lift up to you, Bob. We're looking at an extended recovery to be back to normal, but God, we are thankful that he's able to begin putting weight on that foot. God, we pray for continued healing and patience with the process. It's a long process, and healing is never fun. God, give him strength and good rest. And we pray for strength for Elizabeth as well. God, we pray for our nominating committee. We pray for those that they would ask to serve as elder and deacon in our church. And God, we also ask for individuals that might recognize in themselves that you have put a call on their life to serve as a deacon or to serve as an elder. And God, I pray that they might reach out and contact Natalie or Daryl. That they might reach out and say, hey, here am I. I'm willing to serve. Lord, we pray for our session and wisdom and encouragement as they continue to figure out how we're and all that we're going to do as we come back into worship together. And God, we pray for our deacons. Thank you for the energy and strength and compassion that they have served with, especially over the last 15 months as we've been shut down with COVID, and they've continued to minister to our congregation in such amazing ways, remembering birthdays and remembering huge celebrations like 100-year birthdays and just honoring people. God, we pray for the leadership in our country, not only in our community here in Milton and Edgewood, but in our county, in our state, in our country. God, we pray for our governor and the decisions that he needs to make regarding COVID and myriad of other issues, Lord. Give him wisdom and discernment beyond his own understanding. We pray for our president and his cabinet. We pray for President Biden, and we ask, Lord, that you would give him wisdom and understanding and strength and stamina in the midst of so many things. That's got to be the most taxing office there is. There's just so many meetings and so many things to be thinking about that affect people across our great country. And God, I want to lift up a special prayer today for those that have served along brothers and sisters in arms that did not make it home. I think of Steve, who shared that this is a very difficult holiday for him because of those that did not come home, and he did. God, I pray for your hand and your touch, your peace to be on not only those that have served and lost brothers and sisters, but on families that have lost loved ones. And God, we pray and we look forward to a day of peace when we will be at peace. Our world will be at peace. God, we ask this all to your glory, and we are glad that your Son taught us to pray, and we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I turned around expecting our worship team to be there, but I have more work to do. The announcements. We are planning, barring any surprises from government telling us what we are able to do. We are planning on entering our building next week. We invite you to come. We also invite you, as you come, if you enter our building and you're not comfortable shaking hands or touching, that's okay. Feel free to say so. We invite you to sit away from people or to sit with other people that you know and are vaccinated. That you can have your own little pod. We are not going to have a vaccinated, unvaccinated sections because we don't want to shame anybody. And also because we know that about 90% of our congregation is already vaccinated. So thank you for doing that. If you'd like to wear a mask, you're welcome to wear a mask. We will be wearing masks. We will be wearing masks. So we will be wearing masks next week. We'll still be broadcasting over the radio, so be aware of that. If you are concerned about vaccinations and you want to talk to somebody, I'm happy to talk to you. My number is listed in the bulletin. I don't say it over the radio because this goes over the internet, and I don't want people calling me at 2:30 in the morning. We've talked about the Marks of Vitality survey, and it's, as I said, it's getting sent out. Don't forget our midweek Bible study on Zoom. You're continuing this week, correct? Awesome. Like that. So, and our congregational meeting on the 13th will be to elect elders and deacons. If you are interested in doing that, serving in one of those positions, excuse me, if you're interested in serving in one of those positions, Daryl is here. I know I haven't seen Natalie here today, but Daryl's in the blue Nissan, and he's the Energizer Bunny I was praying about earlier. But you can just mention to him. He'd be happy to write down your name. Or just pass it to one of the people that are here, and we'll make sure that he gets it. So thank you for that. With that, let's go to our parting hymn, which has changed from the one in your bulletin.
It is number
589. Here I am, Lord.
To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above and beyond all we can ask or even imagine, to him be all glory, honor, and praise, now and forever, in the church and in his people and in this world. Amen. Go in peace.